Chris Carey is in the house with our classic pick of the week and picked a great one appropriate for this day or, frankly, any other day. The legendary Nina Simone is today's topic for our classic pick. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Yeah, it's a, well, yeah, there's never a bad day for Nina Simone.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because I don't think, I mean, I really didn't discover Nina Simone. She was somebody I obviously heard of until probably my late 20s. And then I've been slowly getting more and more into her, and I think that now, I always think, what if there was only 10 artists I could listen to the rest of my life, who would they be? And I think Nina Simone
might be
on
up
that.
There.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
But we're talking about Nina Simone's Nina Simone at Town Hall. It came out 1959, so 61 years ago. This was Nina Simone's fourth LP, her second in 1959, and both of her CDs in 1959 were partially live recorded and partially studio recorded. She's, you know, of course, a singer, songwriter, musician, arranger, and civil rights activist. She was born Eunice Kathleen Wayman, and she didn't get the name Nina Simone till after she was out of college. She was a hugely influentially classically trained person. She started playing the piano when she was 3 years old, and her stage presence, which was mesmerizing, if you got some time at home and you want to Google some stuff,
go down the Nina Simone YouTube. You'll be there a while. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and her stage presence was amazing. And when she was in the zone, she was in the zone. And that kind of earned her the title High Priestess of Soul. She was born in North Carolina. She was the sixth of eight children, big family. Like I said, she began playing the piano at age three, and she was playing at church very early on. A piano teacher in town saw her and started teaching her for free. And all the time as she was growing up, this same piano teacher was saving money to send her to college because she thought, this woman's going to be a classical pianist that tours the world. At her first public performance, when she was like 12 or 13, she was getting ready to perform, and her parents were sitting in the front row, and they were forced to sit in the back of the church because they were black, and she wouldn't play until they were allowed to come back and sit in the front pew. And she said later on that was one of the formative things that happened in her life that really got her to become a civil rights activist much later. This longtime teacher, like I said, she helped save money. She raised money every time little Nina Simone would play out. This woman would pass the hat and collect money so they could save money, and she did. And when she graduated high school at the top of her class, she went to a Juilliard in New York City and studied there for 2 years. And then when she got out, she wanted to go to the Curtis Institute of Music in Philly, which is a very prestigious music institute, and she was denied. And at first she didn't think about this, but as years went on, she was convinced it was because she was black. And that again, you know, added fuel to the fire of social, wanting social reform. So after college, when she didn't get into the Curtis School, and the money that her patrons had saved for her had begun running out, she realized she had to do something. So she was, at the time when she moved from North Carolina up to the East Coast, actually, her family followed her to Philly, so she wouldn't be that far away from her family. And so she went to Atlantic City and started playing at a nightclub. And that's when she took on the name Nina Simone, because she didn't want her parents to see her name in the paper and associate her with playing that devil music called jazz. Yeah. But also another interesting thing, too, is when she got hired by this Atlantic nightclub, you know, up until this point, Nina Simone had only played piano. So this was like in her early 20s, and she started playing it. That's when she began singing, which to me is amazing, because the only thing that parallels her piano playing,
is the instrument of her voice,
which is equally as impressive. And so I think that's crazy that she didn't start singing publicly until she was in her 20s. So as she was doing this, she did record a single of Gershwin's I Love You, Porgy. And it was put out on a small label at the time, and they never even pushed it as a single. They hardly put any promotion behind it because it was this tiny label. And it just got noticed, and it became a big hit, so much so that she was on TV and everything else. And then that's kind of when she started getting more attention, and she ended up recording another album called Nina Simone and Her Friends in 58, and then in 59 she did these two recordings. And actually the recording at Town Hall, which it was not that big, 1500 cap, so a little bit bigger than the Rialto, or the Fox Theater, but it's kind of a prestigious place. It's been around since 1919. It's on the National Register of Historic Places. There's been some pretty amazing people that have played there. I'm trying to find my list of the people who played there, because I thought it was kind of cool. I know that, I'll find that in a minute. I'll remember. I know that Rachmaninoff played there, and she thought that was pretty cool, because she's one of the few people that can play Rachmaninoff, which is, I've always understood, as he's very difficult to play. Commercially, like I said, when this came out, also this was her debut performance in New York City. She had never performed publicly in New York City.
And they chose to record it for a live album.
Well, yeah, they recorded, yeah, because this was the second album of the year in 1959, and both of them had some recordings on it. And they, you know, to the label's credit, they realized how amazing she was live, and they wanted to get some of that on tape. And you know, for a record that was recorded live in 59, these live tracks sound pretty darn good. This was, like I said, this was a pretty big commercial hit. It's really hard to say how big of a commercial hit, because even though Billboard didn't get started, you know, saving information on how well everything sold until about 1950, late 59, early 60. So this was just at the tail end.
Oh, this was on the cusp.
So they didn't, I really don't know where it would have ranked in 1959, but it did sell pretty well. Critically, everybody loved it from the get-go, and it's gone down in history for a woman who's put out, I believe she's put out close to 50 albums, or there have been collections of 50 albums, and it's still regarded as kind of one of her defining, you know, recordings. And it is pretty good. It's like there's not a bad note on this. It's pretty good.
Oh, what a perfect pick. I'm talking with Chris Carey about our classic pick of the week, Nina Simone at Town Hall, released back in 1959. Other things to add before we get into your first selection?
Yeah, just a couple things. Sure. I really do think that this is one of those artists that I think she's one of those artists. It's hard to imagine what music today would be like without her. I mean, there's so many equally huge artists, or almost as huge of artists as Nina Simone, that cite her as an influence. And this is like not just in soul, not just in jazz, but all across the board. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite artists, David Bowie, said she was a major influence on him. And you know, I started getting into David Bowie really big in my early 20s. And then when I read that kind of got me into Nina Simone in my late 20s. You know, he actually, and that's why he covered Wild as the Wind. Which was on Station to Station, which is one of my favorite Bowie records. And it's a great cover, but the original is great too. And that was actually first done by Johnny Mathis in just a couple of years before this. But the song that I want to play today is Black as the Color of My True Lover's Hair, which is an amazing song. And it's actually a traditional Appalachian Mountain folk song that has its roots back to Scotland, just like a lot of the whiskey making in Tennessee and Kentucky have its roots back to Scotland. It's been recorded by a ton of artists: Burl Ives, Pete Seeger, Joan Baez, Smothers Brothers, and Twilight Singers, which you and I are fans of,
yes.
Greg Dooley from Afghan Whigs. But I don't think anybody ever owned this song like Nina Simone owned this song. It became integral to her repertoire. She played it at almost every live show, and it is an amazing song.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks.